ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 23 फाउंड इन योर बुक स्टैंड इन दैट लिटिल प्रिंट आउट पैकेज दैट वी स्टोल फ्रॉम द बीबीटी जस्ट किडिंग ओके यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी कंसेन रुथाति चिरम शुचार्पिता कंसेन रुथाति चिरम शुचार्पिता कंसेन रुथाति चिरम शुचार्पिता विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो त्वया एव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणात् त्वयैव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणात् त्वयैव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणात् यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी कंसेन रुथाति चिरं शुचार्पिता विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो त्वया एव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणा यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी कंसेन रुथाति चिरं शुचार्पिता विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो त्वया एव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणा यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी कंसेन रुथाति चिरं शुचार्पिता विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो त्वया एव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणा यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी कंसेन रुथाति चिरं शुचार्पिता विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो त्वयैव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणा यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी कंसेन रुथाति चिरं शुचार्पिता विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो त्वयैव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणा यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी कंसेन रुथाति चिरं शुचार्पिता विमोचिताहं स सहात्मजा विभो त्वयैव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणा यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी Tangsenarutatichidam sucharpita. Imochitaham cha sahatma javibo. Tayeva natena muhur vipadgana. Yata rishikesha kalena devaki. Kangsena ruta chichiram sucharpita. Vimochitaham cha sahatma javibo. Vayena mahur vitar garna. Yata, as it were, Hrishikesha, the master of the senses, Kalena, by the envious, Devaki, the mother of Sri Krishna, Kangsena, by King Kangsa, Rudha, imprisoned, Atichiram, for a long time, Sucharpita, distressed, Vimochita, released, Ahamcha, also myself, Sahatmaja, along with my children, Vibo, O great one, Twaya Eva, by your lordship, Natena, as the protector, Muhu, constantly, Vipadganad, from a series of dangers. Translation, O Hrishikesh, master of the senses and lord of lords, you have released your mother, Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kangsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. Purport. Devaki, the mother of Krishna and sister of King Kamsa, was put into prison along with her husband, Vasudev, because the envious king was afraid of being killed by Devaki's eighth son, Krishna. He killed all the sons of Devaki who were born before Krishna, but Krishna escaped the danger of child slaughter because he was transferred to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Lord Krishna's foster father. Kunti Devi, along with her children, was also saved from a series of dangers. But Kunti Devi was shown far more favor because Lord Krishna did not save the other children of Devaki, whereas he saved the children of Kunti Devi. This was done because Devaki's husband, Vasudev, was living, whereas Kunti Devi was a widow, and there was none to help her except Krishna. The conclusion is that Krishna endows more favor to a devotee who is in greater dangers. Sometimes he puts his devotees into such dangers because in that condition of helplessness, the devotee becomes more attached to the Lord. The more the attachment is there for the Lord, the more success is there for the devotee. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Dham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Parshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gaudavani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupa Nuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dwantaharine Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambodhe Padambujayate Nama Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Virayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Pancha Tattva Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sharupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarva Swapadambojo Radha Marana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumada Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prishtalibhi Sevya Manu Smarami Srimad Rasarasarambi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Svanir Gopir Gopinatha Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasyacha Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nasringa Jai Nasringa Jai Jai Narasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Yada Yada Hidharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Srajamyaham Parichanaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chituskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Yuktvaivam Matmana Matparayanaha Sarvadharman Paritjaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Shaishami Masuchaha Hari Nama Hari Nama Hari Nameva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yata Rishikesha Kalena Devaki Kangsena Ruta Tichiram Shucharpita Vimochitaham Chasahatmaja Vibho Taya Evanatina Muhur Vipadganat.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared 500 years ago, was known, amongst his many other supremely glorious qualities and characteristics, as the ideal preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. and he taught the Bhagavatam by his practical example. Known as the cream of Vedic literature, the Bhagavatam points directly to pure devotional service unto Lord Krishna. Throughout this great literature, many prayers are offered to Krishna which describe him as the summum bonum of all existence. In the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit, who personified perfection in hearing Krishna Katha, offers wonderful prayers to his spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami, glorifying him as the direct representative of the Lord. The prayers of Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto, after he had seen the Lord face to face, are exalted as being beyond the reach of even the greatest philosophers. The prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nisrimhadev in the seventh canto are especially loved by the devotees, spoken while even the demigods themselves were afraid to approach the Lord in his terrifying form. Amongst the prayers to Lord Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers by the great devotee Queen Kunti are particularly famous and profound. Kunti acted in the role of Krishna's maternal aunt during his manifest pastimes on this earth 5,000 years ago. Following the great battle of Kurukshetra, by which Lord Krishna established his devotees as the rulers of the world, the Lord prepared to leave Hastinapur and travel to his kingdom in Dwarka. This was near the end of his stay on this earth, and throughout this time, the Pandavas, including Queen Kunti, had faced many troubles and dangers. The Lord had guided his devotees through all of them. At this time, Kunti approached the Lord and offered her prayers. Lord Chaitanya, whose biography we are about to hear, relished discussions on topics such as the prayers of Queen Kunti with his intimate devotees, since they reveal the super excellent position of Lord Krishna and his devotional service. The prayers of Queen Kunti are as follows. O Krishna, as the river Ganges forever flows to the sea, let my mind, my being, be constantly drawn to Thee. O most gentle, O original personality, master of the senses, seated in the hearts of all that be, existing both within and without, seeing all but seen by none. Unto you I offer all my respects. O Krishna, O soul of the universe, beyond the range of our perception, covered by the curtain of misconception, we are bewildered by your movements. Though you work, you are inactive. Though you take birth, you are unborn. And though you descend amongst men, sages, animals, and aquatics, you are the transcendent reality. And although you are unknown above all that be, you reveal yourself to the surrendered souls who worship you in the core of their hearts. Unto you I offer all my respects. O Krishna, O eternal master and friend, once when you were a small child, your mother Yashoda took a rope to bind you, your perturbed eyes filled with tears, and though fear personified is afraid of you, at that moment, you were afraid. How can I understand these things? O my Lord, I offer all to you. O Lord, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, who protected us from a great fire, from a poisoned cake, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly of the Kurus, from sufferings and exile, from a fierce battle, and from a devastating weapon. You befriended us and stayed with us and guided us through all tribulations. I offer myself and whatever I have unto you. My Lord, your loving kindness and mercy often come clothed in strange guises, enveloped in a shroud of tribulation. Yet our journey through life is made easy by these hardships you provide. O Lord, let us not falsely claim that this world is our home. Let us not ever forget that this place is full of danger. But let the calamities come again and again, that we may remember you and meet with you again and again. For by remembering you, we no longer meet with repeated birth and death. O Krishna, those who always hear your glories, who always repeat your glories, who always see you in all things, and who always take pleasure in your pastimes, certainly find shelter at your lotus feet. My Lord, you can be easily approached, but only by those who are exhausted with sensual pleasure, unimpressed with opulence, unimpressed with fame and wealth, with prestigious birth, with scholarship. Only by those who are finished with idle talk, finished with mundane beauty, finished with all forms of religiosity. My Lord, I am not afraid to be abandoned by luck, by good fortune, by friends or relatives. I am not afraid to be handled roughly. I am not afraid to wander the streets homeless like a beggar. I am not afraid to be cast away, condemned, quarantined, or exiled. O most gentle, most holy, most merciful Master, help me, prepare me. Do whatever is necessary to render fit this unworthy soul for entrance into your eternal abode.
Hare Krishna. That's Damodar. He lives in New Vrindavan. And I'm not sure who rendered it in poetically. But coming to mind when I was listening to this was the pastime in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam of the Brahmin who lost everything, mostly because of his own fault, because he was miserly, and he didn't offer proper respects to the demigods. He was not generous. He did not give proper respect to his family members, and eventually he lost everything, as is the case when someone acts like that. But because he had engaged in some kind of devotional service previously, when he began to lose everything, his crops dried up, his family left him, demigods had forsaken him, and he found himself bereft, in his heart he felt a happiness from renunciation, a happiness that he had now become detached from the material world. And he felt an eagerness that now I have an opportunity to engage in the Lord's service, because it's not easy to break away from the material world. In fact, it's impossible. Krishna says, Daiva hi esha gunamayi, mama maya duratyaya. It's practically impossible for the soul to get free on his own. Maya mugda jiva nahi swata krishna gyan. Lord Chaitanya said, it's not swata, it's not automatic that the soul can break away. So if some opportunity comes when we can actually get away, when the doors open and we can walk out, then this is great mercy by the Lord. And he arranges these in ways sometimes that appear to outsiders to be some calamity some great anxiety, some fearful condition. And this Brahmana, the Avanti Brahman, he took the opportunity of his great loss in his life to walk away from the place that he called home, from all his whatever possessions he had left. And he had a determination within his heart, which was expressed in a verse which was very much appreciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Etam sa astaya paratma dishtam yasitam purvatamar maharshibi aham tarishami durantaparam tamumu kundangri nisheva yaiva. He said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of material existence by being firmly fixed in the lotus, in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who are fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up this verse and he distributed it to his favorite disciples. And to this day, through our parampara, when devotees take sannyas, they also, this is one verse that they take and recite regularly, at least three times a day. Anyone can recite it. It's right from the Bhagavatam. But it epitomizes this type of determination that one must have in order to cross over the material existence. Great determination. So the Lord helps the devotees who want this. Somewhere in their heart, somewhere in our heart, somewhere in my heart, I might want to get out of the material world. But I may be faced by so many obstacles and prerequisites before I'm allowed free. But despite those obstacles, if I remain determined, Krishna will make the arrangements because he actually wants us to be free. It's our birthright to be free, to be freely engaged in his devotional service to our full satisfaction. And he can arrange that. And he does arrange that in many different ways. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that for devotees who are determined in that way, sometimes when calamities come, that's the greatest sweetness for the devotees, actually. It may not be at first. It may actually be some cause for great lamentation. As Prabhupada said, when he was became bereft of his earnings, his livelihood, and subsequently his friends, relatives, had forsaken him because of his losses, the devotees thought that it sounded sort of funny and they laughed when Prabhupada talked about it. And Prabhupada said, no, actually you become very morose. It's not that we don't experience some feeling of moroseness, as Prabhupada pointed out. But then that's followed, as we say, it's always darkest before the dawn. It's followed by the appearance of the Lord as he comes to save us. And then oftentimes we realize why it was Krishna put us in that situation. As Steve Jobs, who is the entrepreneur here in Silicon Valley, pointed out in a commencement speech that he had come across many kinds of troubles in his life when he had started a company called Apple Computer, and then he had hired a CEO to come in to help out, and later on that very CEO voted him out of the company. And he thought, what happened? But what happened was he started another company that was even bigger. And then soon after that, he had some other reversals of fortune that he found out he had some kind of cancer, that he was going to die within 3 months. And then he had made all preparations to leave the world and had changed his entire perspective. And then he found out that it wasn't a deadly kind of cancer, but it was the rarest of rare kinds of cancer that only a few people get in the whole world out of the whole population that is curable in that strain of cancer. So there was a reversal there. But his life had inextricably changed from that point. The point he had made, though, at these points in his life was that he didn't realize where he was going with them. And so he said, it's impossible to connect the dots forward, but you can connect them backwards and see, oh, that's what led me to here, led me to there. For devotees especially, this is true. Oftentimes, we don't know what it is the Lord has in mind when he has the when he makes some arrangement in our life for some seeming calamity or some great pressure or anxiety that comes into our life all of a sudden that forces us to act in a different way. I've realized personally in my life that I'm so attached to the way I do things normally that unless I'm pressured to the utmost by the extreme anxiety or calamity, that I won't ultimately make the choice to say, I'm changing now. That's very difficult. But that's the Lord's mercy. He'll come to us in that way if we desire his service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Lord, just as a person in the desert who's without water and who's struggling for every footstep, trying to get towards an oasis, if someone comes to him and offers him a glass of water, he'll value that more than anything in the world. You don't want anything. Here's $20. It's useless. It's absolutely useless. Any other kind of news is useless to you besides here's a glass of water when you're in that condition in the desert. And similarly, for devotees, when they're put into dire circumstances, there's no other news that's good except for the Lord's here to protect you. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Lord is very expert at this. He's tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami puti yogam tam jainamam upayanti te. This illumination that Krishna gives, this buddhi yoga, this intelligence that he gives to a soul actually comes in many interesting ways. And sometimes they're in ways that we didn't expect. That we think, why is this happening? But here we can take solace and we can take direction from the great souls like Queen Kunti, who's pointing out that all these calamities come and all these different arrangements come to propel us forward in the devotional service of the Lord so that we can ultimately take shelter of him. The Lord is making all kinds of arrangements for us, but often we don't see it. I have had this experience where a bird flew into my house, and I saw it from the backyard, and I came in the house, and little birds really get scared when they're in the house because they don't like being in houses, and they especially don't look like 6'4" human beings running after them. So this little bird was like really frightened, but I had only good intentions in my heart for this little bird. I was thinking, I just want to get you back out into the tree where you're happy. So I came in with the best of intentions, and he looked at me like I was going to kill him, like I was going to wring his little neck. And he started flying from one room to the next. And every room, I opened every window and every door as far as I could. And what did he do? He'd fly to the next room, where there was no escape. And I'd open all the windows and doors in that room, and he'd fly to the next door. And then he came back into the original room where all the doors and windows were open, and I have double-pane windows in the kitchen where he was. So there's an opening here and a closure up top. So he started banging against the closure. It looks like you can get out, but you can't. So bang, 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 bang. And I was so frustrated because I just want you to be happy, you know. And he was looking at me, oh, you're going to kill me. Bang, 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 into the window over and over again. Finally, he flew out and I felt relief. But I saw myself in that bird. I saw myself with Krishna opening doors, opening windows, say, here, go free, go free, go free. And I'm going, oh, leave me alone, you know. I just want money. I want to be happy. Bang, 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 over and over again. And he's opening doors and windows everywhere. And I don't have the intelligence to get out. But you know, sometimes this faith, we have to develop faith that Krishna will catch us. Sometimes they say, you know, you're hanging on to the bar over the precipice, and then the fire department comes and they put out the big net and they say, okay, jump, you know, and we'll catch you. And they say, can't you catch me first before I jump? And I say, no. First you have to jump and then I'll catch you. So we have to get that faith somehow that we can, that we'll jump and Krishna will catch us. In Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, he says that the person who has all Brahminical qualities, but who doesn't have this kind of faith and this devotion in the Lord, he can't even purify himself. But a person who has this kind of faith in the Lord, who takes shelter of the Lord as his sole refuge, even if that person is from an insignificant background, that faith is all-powerful. And he says such a person can purify not only himself, but his whole family. And many instances we've seen in the how Krishna is protecting his devotees, not just his devotees, but everyone connected with his devotees. Many, many times this has happened. Devotees who have taken to devotional service, they purify themselves and their whole families. But recently I read something that really caught my attention. And this is very close to home because Bhanubhata Prabhu, Satyadev Prabhu, and I, maybe some others of you, I'm not sure, had had association with a very saintly godbrother who has soon passed away, and his name is Jayananda Prabhu. He was there in the San Francisco temple. All three of us were actually part of the same temple. Bhanubhata, Satyadev Prabhu, and I were at 455 Valencia Street in the Mission District. Bhana joined there. I joined there. Satyadev joined in Japan, but he came soon afterwards. And Jayananda Prabhu was there. And everyone who knew Jayananda said he was a very saintly devotee. He was a saintly devotee. He had been very depressed before he had joined Krishna consciousness, extremely depressed. But when he found Prabhupada and he found Krishna consciousness, he was the happiest person in the world. And he took to it with complete abandon and took to devotional service and was 100% surrendered. In any case, there's not enough good things to say about Jayananda Prabhu, and there are books written about him, and many people remember him. Prabhupada himself had established a day to remember him on his disappearance day, and his picture is also on all the Rath Yatra carts all over the world. So he has eternal fame in this line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's an extraordinary soul. Anyway, he comes from an insignificant background. I don't know where his family's from. I can't remember. But they're not high-class Brahmins, I can guarantee you. And although I think he was an engineer. He had studied engineering. He drove taxi cab for some time. But he was a very simple person, in a way. Not extremely intellectual, although he was intuitively and fully Krishna conscious. He didn't express himself in an intellectual way. So he passed away from some kind of cancer, I guess, around 1976, right, because he did his last Rath Yatra in New York City, I think, in 1976, and Prabhupada was there for that. And then soon afterwards, even during that Rath Yatra, he had cancer, but he didn't reveal it to anybody except for Keshava Bharati at that time, because he didn't want anybody to know, because he thought if they knew, then they would impede him from doing his service and ask him to slow down for a little while if they found out that he had these massive lumps growing. So he finally went to the doctor and found out it was dire, and soon afterwards he went to Los Angeles where he passed away with chanting Hare Krishna and so on, and all the devotees around him. So just recently, there was there's a hospice. A hospice is a place where people go to die. When they're in their last 6 months, and it's guaranteed you're going to die, you go into this hospice care. I think it's 6 months is the minimum or something. So there's a devotee who works in a hospice in Boulder Creek, Colorado. And she wears tilak to work. She chants to her clients when she's taking care of them. She preaches to them. She takes care of them. I'm sure she gives them every advantage of Krishna consciousness possible because she's a very nice devotee. And she was taking care of a woman recently who was dying, and while she was taking care of her, bathing her, dressing her, she would chant to her and preach to her about Krishna consciousness. And the woman was very responsive and seemed very, you know, happy to hear this chanting and so on. But the final days came, the final day and hours came, and the family came in to see her off. And the family members noticed that the caretaker for their mother and their some of them were nephews and nieces and so on. They noticed that the caretaker in the hospice was wearing tilak and neck beads. And so one of them approached her and said, are you a Hare Krishna? And she said, yeah, I'm a devotee of Lord Krishna. And she said, oh, that's a very interesting coincidence, because the son of our mother and our aunt here was also a Hare Krishna, but he passed away some years ago. And she said, well, what was his name? And they said, Jayananda. And she said, the Jayananda? The one whose picture is on a little Rathiyat? Oh, they said, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah, Jim. He did all those big carts, and, you know, he was in the San Francisco Temple and this and that, and they named him, and he passed away. I said, yeah, that's her son. And it had turned out that by Krishna's arrangement, I mean, this statistically, if this happening so by some coincidence, it's not that there's devotees chanting with tilak on all over the planet, you know, when you end up in that hospice. But this happened, obviously, by the Lord's arrangement, that because Jayananda was a great devotee and he had passed away, Krishna had made all arrangements for his family as well. And they were amazed as well to find out that here was a devotee, just by chance, and she had no idea that she was chanting to Jayananda's mother. And now they asked her, please come and speak at the memorial. And she came, and she spoke about Krishna consciousness. She spoke about Jayananda, to the great delight of all the relatives there, to remember him. And they all talked about how, even in his childhood, that he had this particular quality that he never criticized anyone. And he also had that when he became a devotee. He had the quality that he didn't criticize anyone, any other devotee, and he also didn't like to even hear any devotee criticized. In fact, if somebody was criticizing another devotee, he didn't say anything, just leave. He'd just leave the room, just quietly leave. He'd be gone. He didn't want to hear it. That was his nature, and everyone loved him. In fact, all the people, I feel privileged now. I remember Jayananda. I go to the San Francisco Flower Market once or twice a week now to buy flowers for the deities. I have to go early in the morning, and I was remembering Jayananda used to do that. He used to go there, and he befriended everyone there by his nature. They called him Johnny Ananda. And he used to bring prasadam, and people knew him. In fact, when he left his body, some of the people that had known him previously, when they found out, they actually cried when they found out that he had left. He had endeared himself so much to people. But what I was remembering and how I relate to this verse is that Krishna is actually protecting us. And there's no reason not to surrender to Krishna. In fact, we're like that little bird banging against the window, thinking, you know, I'm going to help myself by, you know, doing this and that. But actually, the real thing in life is to surrender to Krishna, because he's Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's our best friend. He has our best interest in mind, and he knows exactly how to help us. He's always helped us. He's always there, ready to give us everything. Sometimes I look around, and when I was walking up the street in Burlingame the other day, you look and everyone's eating, they're drinking, they're having something, and it's all being provided by Krishna. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetanam eko bahunam yovididhati kama. Krishna's giving everyone little, you know, the bread, the grains, the whatever everyone has. It's all Krishna's making arrangement. And he'll give us whatever we want. If we want some Mayavadi conception, we were reading last night in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If we want some Mayavadi conception so we can forget Krishna, so we can just erase him out of the equation, Krishna will send somebody to preach to us so that we can completely forget that he actually is the all-effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he's our the most wonderful friend who's always there for us. But if we want to remember him, he'll also give us all facility. So that's why we come together. Our whole purpose is to come together to encourage each other to surrender to Krishna. And there'll be many, many twists and turns. We don't know. We're in these brittle, fragile bodies. You know, they're falling apart all the time. They can be cracked, burned, destroyed, and all the things that we collect in this life and all the arrangements that we make for each other, they'll become untied. They'll become afraid. They'll become difficult for us because that's the way the material energy works. There's nobody that goes through this life and just sails through with no problems because this material world is a problem for us. And so we have to help each other to remember Krishna at all times and to take shelter of him and also to take care of each other during all these difficult times because we should look around and see that devotees who are in difficulty materially, we can't just say, oh, well, that's Krishna's mercy and let them suffer. But we should reach out our hands to help the devotees and realize that, yeah, even with Krishna's mercy, it hurts. It really hurts. You know, it's hard when you get slammed by the material energy, and everyone will be slammed by the material energy. So our special association is that we should take care of each other. In all these circumstances, we should be looking for ways to watch out for the devotees, to make sure that they're okay, that they're provided for, that they're taken care of, and so that in whatever twist or turn is there, through the material energy, that they can stay in contact with Krishna. So we should pray hard for that so that we have more and more facility to take care of the devotees so that they can stay close, so that they can be in, so we can all be in each other's association, and that that everyone feels that the devotees care for me, that their highest interest is my welfare. And this is the real meaning of the Krishna consciousness movement. It's not for creating big monument temples, although those may be there in certain places. It's not for collecting huge amounts of money or anything like that, but it's really about how to go back home, back to Godhead, and surrender to Krishna. And that requires good association. And good association means pure-hearted devotees who really want to help each other. Do that. If you have that, then you have everything. And if you don't have that association, as Ramananda Roy, when he was interviewed by Lord Chaitanya, he was asked many questions. And one of the questions he was asked, what is the greatest suffering in this world? And he said, one thing is the greatest suffering, which supersedes all other kinds of suffering. And that is to be disconnected from the pure devotees of the Lord. There is no other suffering in this world. We can tolerate anything except for that. So we should seek that with all our heart and soul to be connected with the devotees of the Lord. And the way we should do that is to see how we can render service to them. The more we can give service to the devotees and the more that we can feel compassionate and try to watch out for them, then the more we'll feel connected to them. Because even if we're going through difficulties ourselves, the best way to become relieved of our anxiety is to think of the welfare of somebody else. It takes you outside yourself. Even Dale Carnegie says that in his book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. So it's Shastra. He says one of the best things you can do is to think about how to take care of somebody else. When you're in your darkest hour, when things seem most dire, think how to render do some benefit for someone else. And if we have that spirit, then we have everything. And that's the highest kind of consciousness in this world, this Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says, Atmalpam Yena Sarvatra, that somebody who has compassion for everybody, everywhere. He relates to them the way he feels. The way I suffer, I see others suffering, I feel it myself. He's paradukaduki. He actually suffers when he sees others suffering. This is a real sign that there's no envy within the heart. When he sees others doing well, he becomes happy. Oh, good. There's something good happening for others. The opposite, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his song Amar Jivan, is that when I see others going down, I feel, oh, good. Now I'm going up because they're going down. And when I see others happy that they've attained something great, then I think, darn, why didn't I get that? Why didn't I have that? But devotional life is completely the opposite. And we can judge ourselves by that. That is the real test of how we're becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness, is if we actually feel happy for the happiness of others and we feel suffering because of their suffering. And this means, this is the Vaishnav nature. This is the nature of someone who's truly humble, who's truly surrendered to Krishna, because such a person actually knows Krishna is taking care of me. I don't need to take glory from anyone else. I don't need to take their accomplishments and try to make them my own. I don't need to advertise myself any of these things because I have Krishna. And we get Krishna by surrendering to Krishna, and then we'll actually become completely happy. So these prayers from Queen Kunti, these are our life and soul. We should take shelter of these every day, to take shelter of the prayers of Queen Kunti, of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj, because in them radiates the true compassion and heart of the Vaishnav and Vaishnavi. And if we can bask in those rays of those prayers on a regular basis and meditate on them, and then mold our life in such a way that we become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, the most humble servant. Just try to render service in such a way that others will be lifted up, others will become happy. Then our life is complete, and we'll go on in this life in glory. So this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya said that we are servants. We're servants of the servant of the servant of the servant. As Satyadev Prabhu often points out in such a nice way that all these different philosophies that are available out there, like some Mayavadi means I want to become the boss, because ultimately the goal is I'm going to become God. Right? I'm meditating now, and now soon from my meditations and everything, I'll become God. So that means I'm going to become the boss. And then some other philosophy is thinking, I already am the boss. Like in materialism, I suppose. Or some philosophy like voidism, they say, there is no boss. There's nobody in charge. There's nobody here. There's no boss. But in Vaishnavism, we say Krishna's the boss. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyavamam shantamrijit. And that's easy, because that's our nature. Our actual nature is Krishna's the boss, and I'm the servant. And if we think like that, then there's no problems. And anything that comes, if we take that humble nature and we take that service attitude, then we'll be able to actually even relish it, as these devotees see that when calamities come, it's Krishna's arrangement so that they can remember him more, so they can surrender more and be in that position. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna.